Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And yes, it's March 14th, Pi Day, you know, 314, 3.14. So let's celebrate by talking about the mathematical pi, P-I. And since we're never ones to look a gift hominem in the mouth, let's also talk about that other kind of pie, apple, blueberry, rhubarb. The phones are open now for either your math tributes or your baking tips, and extra caller points if you can combine the two. 212-433-WNYC for the last few minutes of the show today. 212-433-9692. And you know, this isn't as tenuous a connection as you may think. For many of us, the most consistent time we use math is when we're cooking. So if you have a story about the intersection of baking and math, the phones are especially open for you. Or even if you just want to celebrate Pi the number, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And when we come back from the break, we'll put you on the air and we'll also meet the executive director of the new Museum of Mathematics. And as you can imagine, this is a big day for him. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and yes, happy Pi Day. The phones are open to pay tribute to your favorite kind of pie, 3.14, out to as many digits as you have it memorized, or the blueberry, cherry, apple, pecan type. Bonus points if you can combine the two. And as we're taking your calls and getting them ready for air, we will talk with Glenn Whitney, Executive Director of MoMath. I said new museum before, that it's not a new museum. I have new museum on my mind because I'm doing something later in the day with a new museum here in New York City. But it's the National Museum of Mathematics, located right here in Manhattan on East 26th Street. Glenn, welcome to WNYC. So is today a national holiday for mathematicians?
Some mathematicians pay more attention to it than others, but everybody likes to join in the fun. It was actually started by another museum on the West Coast. The Exploratorium first popularized Pi Day.
Hmm. Do you think other mathematical constants are jealous of all the attention that Pi gets, or is the ratio of a circle's circumference to its diameter really that important?
Well, both are true. I think there's a lot of other really cool numbers out there that don't get quite the publicity that Pi does. It's amazing. I mean, it's one of the things that opened the gateway to mathematics starting from thousands of years ago.
Shelley and Metuchen is going to be our first caller. Hi, Shelley.
Hi, Brian.
Which Pi would you like to celebrate?
All of them. I just took a pie out of the oven with a pie on the front of it, an apple pie for my son. I'm going to drop it off at work to him. And it's a hint to young parents of young children that when he couldn't sleep, we 25 years ago, we walked him up and down the room, saying 3.14159, 3.14159, and it worked like a charm.
Did he grow up to be an engineer?
Well, he did go into engineering high school, but he wound up in philosophy. But
maybe he fell asleep in math class because it triggered the sleep response.
No, he did real well in math. But I also wanted to say it's Einstein's birthday, and Princeton Borough does a great celebration of Pi Day and of Einstein's birthday. They have tours and everything. And we have a family connection. My stepdad was in the Princeton class of 46, which happened to have been one of the first class of Jews. There were some young guys from the Navy. And he sat next to Einstein with the Mercer County Jewish women put on a Passover Seder, which is coming up.
Right.
And he sat next to Einstein for a few hours.
Ooh.
And so briefly knew him. And he was very upset at his 50th reunion at Princeton that there was no memorial from the borough to Einstein. And they helped to get Bob Burks, the sculptor who did Einstein in front of the National Science Foundation and at the Kennedy Center, John F. Kennedy. And so Bob donated the bust of Einstein, which is now in front of Princeton Borough Hall.
That's great. Great stories all the way around. Shelley, thank you for starting us off. And by the way, for our guest from the National Museum of Mathematics here in New York City, Glenn, is there more about pi still to learn? In late 2011, we saw that someone calculated the length of pi to 10 trillion digits. Is there a chance that we discover something amazing at 10 trillion and one?
Well, it's not the digits themselves. It's how we get there. More mathematics, more computer science algorithms have been invented trying to find those digits. Then maybe we've learned from the digits themselves. So, it's a bit like, putting a person on the moon. You almost learn more from the technology you have to develop than from actually getting there.
And one fun fact, at position 763, there are six nines in a row, and this is known as the Feynman point. Joining us for a minute is Yen Duong, a third-year math PhD student at the University of Illinois at Chicago. She runs a blog called, you guessed it, Baking and Math. Yen, welcome to WNYC. Hello from New York.
Hello from Chicago. Thanks for having me.
So which came first for you, the love of math or the love of baking?
Oh, that's hard. I mean, I remember baking when I was 8, cookies with my mom, but also trying to figure out how to halve the batch because we didn't want to make 5 dozen cookies. I was like, Mom, how do I take half of this? And she's like, just divided by 2. And this just blew my mind. So I'd say both of them came together.
Are there any particular math tricks that come in handy when you're cooking?
Multiplying by fractions is probably both the hardest and the easiest thing that comes up all the time. Last night I made a chess pie in honor of today, but I only had half a cup of milk left, and the recipe called for 2/3 of a cup. So I had to figure out what to multiply the rest of the recipe by.
There you go. That's a good trick. Know your fractions. And I'm just curious if someone like you knows any good baking and math jokes, because we found one online, but it's pretty terrible. It's, what do you get if you divide the circumference of a jack-o'-lantern by its diameter? Pumpkin pie. So you don't have anything better than that, do you?
Well,
either of you can go there. Yen, you first?
Yeah.
No, I don't have anything. You'd have to visit my blog. It's full of puns.
I don't have a joke, but I do have a place where pie actually comes up in baking, which is, suppose you want to make a 9-inch cake, a 9-inch diameter cake, and you discover that you only have square pans. So you want to try to figure out, well, what size pan should I use instead of my 9-inch diameter cake pan, because I only have square pans. Well, it turns out if you take half of 9 and square it, pi r squared, and multiply by pi, you get just under, you get 63.6. So if you use an 8-inch square pan, then you get almost exactly the same area, and so you use the right amount of batter. And in fact, it turns out that approximation, that an 8-inch square has almost exactly the same area as a 9-inch diameter circle, dates back to Ammes in Egypt from 1650 BC. So not only are you using pi and getting the right size pan for your cake, but you're also connecting with a tradition that dates back almost 4,000 years.
There you go, some pi trivia. Well, we thank Yen Duong, who writes the blog Baking and Math. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
And the one that I mentioned is apparently not the only pie joke that exists, though. It may be the only baking and pie joke, but Paige in Manhattan has something along these lines. Hi, Paige.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
Yes, I'd like us to remember that great American, Gracie Allen, who, when someone referred to the equation pi r squared, disagreed and said, no, pi r round.
Ouch. Thank you, Paige. And Farzi in Brooklyn, you have one, too?
Yes, I do. My joke is something that my mom from Texas told me, which was rendered in a Southern accent. So she said to me that a young man went to college and came back home full of himself, and his father said to him, well, son, what'd you learn at college? And the son said, Dad, I learned that pi r squared. And his father looked at him and said, pie aren't squared, son. Cornbread are square. Pie are round.
It's the same joke, and it can
sure
be applied
is.
To Gracie Allen or to that down-home setting. Farzi, thank you very much. Kim in Midtown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kim.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So which kind of pie do you want to talk about?
We are actually putting a little twist on the traditional pie day, and Buttercup here, we're giving out whoopie pies because those have sort of become a new dessert trend. So anyone who stops by the bakery today can get a free mint chocolate whoopie pie.
Wow. Oh, so you work at Buttercup?
Yeah, Buttercup Bake Shop right in Midtown.
And you're giving out free what?
Free whoopie pies.
Which is what exactly?
It's sort of, I like to call them a little combination between a cookie and a cake. So it's two sort of fudge-like cookies with some mint chocolate whipped filling in between the layers.
All right. Well, happy Pi Day.
Yeah, happy Pi Day to you, too. Thanks. We're having fun over here.
All right. Carrie in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Carrie.
Hi. Good afternoon. It's almost afternoon. I've been sending a large apple pie in with my daughter to a school after being introduced to it to Pie Day by a math specialist. As you can tell by the accent, I'm an Australian, and of course we don't do our dates the way the Americans do. We put the day first and then the month. So I didn't even know that Pie Day existed until we lived here. So this morning I sent my daughter off with a 16-inch apple pie that she carved a pie symbol in with a nice knife last night when we cooked the pie.
Yes. And so there's nothing more American than putting the month before the day.
Absolutely.
And nothing more American than apple pie. I got it. Carrie, thank you very much. And you are the last word on Pie Day. And we thank our guest, Glenn Whitney from MoMath. Glenn, thank you very much. Happy Pie Day.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.